take just a few minutes and remind you about the cost of nothing's free. Talk about good deals. I love good deals. I remember when my wife and I were married. Remember when they had coupons and they had the type. Man, I remember, you know, when we first got married, if I went to the store with my wife, which I do not recommend, going to the grocery store with your wife, that only lasted a couple times, man. It's just, I'm like, let's just throw it all in the cart and go home. And, man, my wife would have a list out and a calculator out. She'd have all these coupons. Man, you couldn't get some if we didn't have a coupon. It's like, oh, man. Well, what I want, we don't have a coupon for. And, you know, you get to the cash register, and they didn't, I don't think they scanned it back. Then they, like, typed them in. Boy, and it never failed. You know, you get up the cash register, this lady's got about 9,000 coupons in front of you. It's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Here's the $4, you know, throw the coupons in the garbage. I like a good deal. I'm getting a good deal. There's nothing free. Salvation's not free. Jesus paid it all. It was a high cost of salvation. We offer salvation to people. We explain what salvation is, but there's nothing free. David in 2 Samuel chapter number 24. David had committed a sin in numbering the people. The Bible says in verse number 2 of chapter number 24, the king said unto Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and number ye the people. Notice what it says, that I may know the number of the people. Verse number 8 tells us that it took 9 months and 20 days. A lot of people. He went through a number, and the Bible says in verse number 9 there, the next verse, Joab gave him the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were, and he gave the sum total of the people. David had committed a sin. And the sin was pride. That was really the sin. It wasn't just the numbering of the people. There's a whole book in the Bible about numbers. God's not against numbers. We're not in the ministry. Our church isn't here for numbers. Let me say this. We're in the ministry, and we're here to reach people with the gospel. And if you reach people with the gospel, it does reflect a number. The Bible says in the book of Acts that the church, such as to be saved daily, were added unto the church. You know, I think we're not in trying to build a church. We're in trying to reach people. And we reach people, it's inevitable. The church will grow. That's just the way it works. So David had committed a sin, and he numbered the people. And then God punished him. He gave him three alternatives. The Bible says in verse number 10 there, and David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David knew he did wrong. David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And, you know, when you do wrong, you got to get it right. You just got to get it right. Because your relationship with the Lord's at stake. And so you get it right. And David knew. And, you know, we know when we do wrong. No one's got to tell us that we do wrong. And you got to get it right. David wanted to get it right. And God says, well, verse number 11, for when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, it's interesting, David's life. David always had a seer or a prophet. David always had, he had Samuel, he had Gad, he had Nathan. He always had somebody in his life to help him spiritually. And as a Christian, you should always have somebody in your life spiritually. And we don't have seers, prophets, but someone in life spiritually, as you shouldn't isolate yourself from people trying to help you spiritually. It's very dangerous. You ought to have someone, you ought to have a deacon, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, somebody that can, not say keep an eye on you, but just to guide you spiritually, and let them. Let them guide you. Ask them questions. You know, I know why people, a lot of times we don't ask questions from spiritual guides or mentors or people that are trying to help us in the Lord because we don't want to know the answer. Sometimes we say, well, if I ask, you know, so-and-so deacon, I know what he's going to say. Well, that's not right. I mean, we should want godly advice, godly counsel, and we shouldn't be without that in our life. And so David went to the seer, went to Gad, and the Bible says, verse number 12, and they say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things, choose thee one of them, that I might do unto thee. And we won't go through the three choices there, but the fallout was 70,000 people lost their life. You say this, sin has an effect on other people. Sin has an effect on people around you. Your grandchildren will be affected by your sin. They will. Sin has a price. It costs. And it will. You just don't sin in an isolated, just an instance and it's over. Sin costs. And iniquity costs. And that's why we get things right with the Lord so it doesn't affect too many people that are around us. And people were affected. And Bible says in verse number... Notice what he says in verse number 17, and David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned and I have done. Notice what he says now. He says, I have done wickedly. We just read there that he talked about how he had sinned. And now as he looks back on it and he saw the repercussions of his sin, he really saw the wickedness of sin. You know, it's easy for me to see the wickedness of other people's sin. You know what? My sin's wicked. It's wicked. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, God. My sin against ultimately is against God, a rebellion against God. And David realized that, and he called it what it was. And now David's going to buy Arana's threshing floor. And I'm trying to get down here to... I just wanted to give you a couple of thoughts out of a verse. Look down in verse number 22. And Arana said unto David... Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, there be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. And the punishment now has already been administered, and now he's been asked to give a sacrifice. He's got the wood, so to speak, for the sacrifice. Verse number 23. And these things did Arana as the king gave unto the king. The king gave unto the king. One king gave unto the other king. And Arana said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Arana, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God. Notice what he says, which doth cost me nothing. Cost me nothing. David said, look at, I want to give the sacrifice. I don't want this to be king. I don't want this to be of your offering. I want to give my offering to the Lord. And he says, I'm not going to do it. I want to pay my way. I want to be the one to offer that sacrifice unto the God. He says, unto the Lord my God, of which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And so David made the sacrifice there. And so I want to remind you tonight is, look at your Christianity, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. You have to be willing to pay the price for your Christianity. It costs. It costs time. It costs money. Look at we know the Bible teaches that that God commands us to give the tithes and the offerings. I realize sometimes that costs people. I mean, they can't afford to pay a lot of the things, maybe their bills, and then they come to church and God says, "Just give the tithe and the offering, and don't rob me. I ought to be first." Hey, it costs. That's why, look, a lot of people don't get into a fundamental Bible-believing church because they know the requirements of being involved in something like this. It costs to be in a fundamental church. I mean, you pay. sometimes it's friends, sometimes it's what you can do in this life, but you're reminded when you come here of what God expects, and you're to live holy and righteous. And look, you don't get that in a lot of churches. I mean, you can go to a lot of churches, you you won't feel the conviction to live right because they don't talk about that. I mean, they don't name sin. They don't kind of try to hold your feet to the fire. And they don't have any expectations of you. I mean, they have a message from the Bible in a poem, in a story, and you go home. You come here and sometimes you got to put up with the guy yelling at you up there, telling you need to get right with God, you need to live right, be right. I realize there's a price to attend a church like this. I appreciate you paying the price. It is worth it.
Yes, sir.
It's worth it. Education. There's a cost. Homeschooling, there's a cost. Now, we gladly pay it, and we shouldn't complain about it. We chose to homeschool our children, but it costs. I mean, you women, God bless you, it costs my wife every 5 days a week, about 6 hours a day, plus correcting all that stuff, plus being a teacher and a mother and a husband. It costs. It's hard. If it was up to me, I don't know. My kids would probably be dumb. I mean, I'm thinking, every day, 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4. There's a cost to it. But you gotta weigh the cost. So you gotta count the cost. Look, do I want my children to be raised in an environment and where I can kind of mentor and guide and where I can control what's being said, and do I want to teach them godly values? And when they get older, do I want? Yes, to us, it's worth it.
Yes, sir.
We made that decision a long time ago. It's worth it. It is worth it. But there is a cost. You have to be willing to pay the cost. Look, in Christianity, if some people aren't willing to pay the price that you are, don't look down upon them. Don't look down upon them. That's between you and God. And if it's not, if I know God wants me to, whether it be homeschool my children or whatever it is, that's something that God wants me to do. And if God wants me to do it, I'm going to pay the price. And I don't expect anyone to pay the price. No one's, I'm not going to ask you to homeschool my children. I'm not going to ask you to, there's a cost. Jesus paid the price, the cost at Calvary. You know that they the Bible says that they slapped him. They pulmoned him. They punched him. They pulled his beard out. They spit upon him. You know, he paid the price. He had to get to Calvary, but on the way there, man, there was a price to pay. There's a Son of God being taken by sinful man and being laid on a tree, a cross, and being nailed there and hanging there naked. Naked. He paid the price. It's not free. It's nothing free. And there's a cost for Christianity. There's a cost for being close to the Lord. It costs you time. Time is valuable. But it takes time to be close to God. It's just not a daily bread at the stoplight on the way to work in the morning. You can't get close to God like that. It takes time. I mean, who's got an hour to spend with God every morning? You got to make it. No one does. But you got to make that time. No one's got time to go soul winning. I mean, who's got time to take 2 hours, 2-3 hours every week to go soul winning? That's why most people don't go. I ain't time to do that. It costs. But look, if we're going to have a church that tries to reach people, and if we're going to have a church that's trying to be godly, we're going to have to pay the price. And I know, I'm preaching to the choir. You are paying the price. I'm just saying, I just want to remind you tonight, is don't get sick of paying the price. Don't get sick of going to church on Sunday night. Don't get sick of coming to choir practice at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. No, I'm just kidding. Or whatever time. And he said, oh, man, there is a cost. There's nothing free. And, if you want the fruit, you got to stay in there and labor for the fruit. You got to do the hard thing.
Yes, sir.
And praise the Lord. Many of you came out to church tonight. Praise the Lord. We encourage you and to walk with the Lord and get God's blessing on your life. And I remember going to 2 services as a new Christian for the first time and thinking, whoa, I went to church twice. My wife, I don't see her here tonight. Huh? Nursery. No, not my wife. I knew my wife was in there. I know where she is most of the time. She's got a girl that's been coming to church for a couple weeks. The Chinese girl. And it was a blessing. My wife brought her home today, and she says, she's interested in maybe coming back to church. And she's trying to figure out, why do you do two times on Sunday? What's the difference? You say the same thing? Is it like same? You know, she's just trying to figure it out. You know, what's this all about? And God expects some things out of us as far as Christians. We ought to be willing to pay the price. If he paid that price for me, I ought to be willing to pay the price for him. It's a sacrifice, but it's a good sacrifice. And you know, as David offered a burnt offering there, a burnt offering is not what you ate this afternoon. A burnt offering, when you have a burnt offering, it's voluntary, and you got it. You smoke the thing. There's nothing left. You don't go home with part of it. David wanted to give it all. He wanted to give it all. What's going on over here? All right. So sacrifice time, your energy, and I know we get into special days and seasons, and we great commissions, and we get these things going in bus ministry. You say, man, I just can't keep doing it. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You wait on God. Amen. You get strength from God. You can do what God's called you to do, and we can have in 2013 almost 2012. Is we can have a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church that's evangelistic. We can do that. I know there's a lot of crunches, but we can do that. And we can use wisdom, and we can reach people with the gospel if we want to. If we want to. If you want to go to a community church where they just meet on Sunday morning for 45 minutes and just slap each other on the back and go home. If you want to go to a church where they've got big gymnasiums and they've got fun. There's other churches, I realize, you can go to that have things that ours, you know, doesn't have. Better facilities, maybe better programs. I mean, but I'm thankful for the people that choose to come here and support missions, mission projects, and bus ministry, local missions, and the priorities that we have in our church. I think they're biblical. That's why we do them. It just wasn't a good idea. I think we try to pattern the church after the book of Acts. And so as you take the Lord's Supper tonight, remember this. There was a price that was paid for your salvation. There's a price. It costs something. And David said, look it, no thank you. I'm going to pay. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to pay the price. I'm not taking a free ride. I'm not going to accept that and just think, wow, it must be from the Lord. You know, he's a king. I'm a king. He wants to give me this thing, so I'm going to take it. David said, no, sir, my God demands more than that. I'm going to give from my heart. I'm going to give. And so let's remember that Jesus gave it all. Jesus gave it all. Let's bow for a prayer. What would